Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you. Appreciate you joining today's conversation. And we are in, we're out of chapter 3, Caleb.
Yeah.
So all those unpronounceable names are now in our rearview mirror.
Very good. We said them confidently and moved on. And now we're into chapter 4.
Chapter 4 is one of those chapters in the Bible, Nehemiah chapter 4, for those that might just be joining us, that is so helpful for modern Christians because it deals, the entire chapter deals with the topic of being attacked, being criticized. Mm. And I don't know about you, Caleb, but you know, that's been something I've had to deal with in my life.
Yeah, I think criticism is a very real thing in everybody's life. You know, anytime you're going to do anything right or anything good for God, you'll face criticism. And so that's why I just love this passage. There's a lot of great practical truths for us today.
Great truths for us to apply. And let's be quick to say this, Caleb, just so that we in the spirit of full disclosure, not only do we all deal with receiving criticism, but let's be honest, we all have a little bit of that critic in us as well. So
for sure.
I guess as we talk through the passage, let's not only look at it instructively and encouragingly from the standpoint of, wow, this is going to help me to deal with unfairness. But I think we need to look at it also as a rebuke to say sometimes we are the critic.
That's very true.
So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 4. I'm just going to tackle a short passage today because what you'll find in chapter 4, friends, is you're going to find that there are three separate attacks on Nehemiah and the people in chapter 4. The first two are from without. The third one is a little bit more insidious because it's attack from within. And all of them have the potential to cripple the work of God. And what we find is that in all three instances, Nehemiah helped the people to respond properly. And that's what I want to do. I want to respond properly when times like these take place in my life.
Yeah.
So Nehemiah chapter 4, it came to pass when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth. He was really, really mad. He took great indignation and mocked the Jews. So here's a guy that is just vociferously ridiculing, mocking the people of God because of his own anger. And boy, is that not in itself an instruction to say that many times people that are verbally abusive are doing so because they have their own issues. This was an issue that arose in Sanballat's own heart. He was mad. He took indignation simply because the Jews were trying to accomplish something for their God. So I think, I don't know if it was Vance Havner or one of those old time preachers that said, if you don't want to be criticized, then don't do anything.
Yeah.
Don't do anything, because if you're going to do something, you're going to be criticized. The passage goes on to say, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria. So a critic always looks for people that will agree with him. Critics generally don't want to solve an issue or go to the person that they're criticizing to try to resolve this biblically. They're typically going to find people that will be predisposed to agree with them.
Yeah.
And that's what Sanballat does.
Right. It's amazing how quickly critics find each other. You know, it goes for every group of people, you know, people with similar personalities, people with similar motives are always going to find each other. And here we see with criticism, that's why it's so dangerous.
Right. A bad spirit is like a magnet. It drags all the other people like it to itself. So he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, so here is a little quotation of the kind of criticism that the Jews were receiving. What do these feeble Jews? Oh, they're weak. What do they think they're doing? Will they fortify themselves? Do they really think they're going to build a defensive wall? Will they sacrifice? In other words, do they really feel as if they're going to institute a religious system where their God is going to help them? Will they make an end in a day? Do they really think they're going to get this project done? I mean, look at the magnitude of the work. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? I mean, just look at this mess. They'll never make anything out of this. And does that not sound reminiscent of criticism we would hear today?
Yeah. We have these critics that are jumping at every possible motive that these people have. It doesn't matter what these Jews are going to do. It doesn't matter what they succeed in. There's always going to be something that this critical person is going to find at fault with
them. And that's the point. The point is, critical people criticize not because of what they see. They criticize because of who they are. Criticism is a lens. And you cannot see things otherwise when that's the set of glasses that you're wearing. And that's what we find in Nehemiah chapter 4 and all of these derogatory statements about people that are just trying to do something good, trying to do something right. Oh, they'll never do it. God won't help them. The project's too big. Look at this mess. And sometimes people will look at somebody's life that is broken. And let's face it, we all have broken lives to a degree. And when we make up our minds that we want to do what's right and get our lives back together, there's always going to be that person that says, they'll never do it. Look at how weak they are. God can't help them. Look at what a mess. It's the same old diatribe. Look at verse 3. Now, Tobiah, the Ammonite, was by him. So, man, a critic, and they're professional critics, but criticism has a way of feeding criticism. It just one it really fed does. The other. And you get two people with a bad spirit together, it's just going to be, they're going to feed each other, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these people, now it's they have almost that validation from the other person. So now they're living through that lens, and now somebody else who's critical is validating what they're saying. So they start to believe their own lie through the lens that they're looking through.
Right, and almost in a way try to one-up each other on the criticism, because Tobiah says this. He says, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. So it's interesting. So here's Sanballat saying, they'll never build this wall. And then Tobiah says, yeah, but even if they do, it's going to be a weak wall. I mean, even if they do, a little fox that dances on it is going to break down their stone wall. So even what they do for the Lord is going to be insignificant. So it's almost as if he's giving a little bit of room for the fact, well, they might succeed, right, but it won't be real success. So even the good they do is colored.
Yeah,
it's the media today, the critical media, whether it's political media or religious media, it's people we like can do no wrong. And people we don't like can do no right. And even when they do something, we've got to denigrate what they do.
Yeah, we always got to minimize it.
That's what he's doing. He's minimizing it. Yeah. A fox would destroy this wall. Just to me, it's so interesting. Verse 4, hear, O our God. So now we have the criticism, verses 1 through 3. Now we have the response to criticism. So Caleb, somebody says to you, you'll never amount to anything. God will never help you. Your life's a mess. And even if you do rebuild yourself, you're so weak that anything will blow you over. I mean, how would you respond to that?
I would I would go right back at them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, let's tit for tat.
I would try to prove them wrong and, you know, probably get in a shouting match with them. And I think that's most of our natural reaction to do something like that.
And yet the biblical principle, friends, is not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. So it's very difficult not to answer in kind, but Nehemiah goes right to the Lord. You know, take your burden to the Lord, leave it there. Sometimes we sing that song, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee. Here's what Nehemiah says in verse 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. Cover not their iniquity, let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So what does Nehemiah do? He does a couple things. Number one, he goes right to the Lord. Number two, he frames the issue properly. Lord, they're really reproaching not just us, but you and the project that you have endorsed and the people that you have set apart. So he considers really what's important. And what's important in criticism is not my feelings necessarily, although I can have them hurt, and sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can't hurt me. So that statement's wrong. You know, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost part of the belly, the Bible says. So criticism hurts, but Nehemiah frames it and says, criticism, while it might hurt me personally, it's insidious because it's reproaching the name of our God. So Nehemiah considers what's important. He goes to God. And then verse 6, and we're almost out of time, so let me just read the last verse here. Verse 6, so built we the wall. In other words, so we didn't allow the criticism to stop us from doing what God had called us to do. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Yeah, while they're saying they'll never get the job done, while they're saying God will never help them, while they're saying that wall is never going to be strong, we just kept on building it. We didn't allow their words to distract us from our project. All the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And isn't that what criticism is aimed at? Criticism is aimed at your mind, your thinking. Mm-hmm. Because if I can begin to become discouraged, if I can begin to believe the lie of the enemy, it's going to affect my work. Mm. But the people did not countenance the criticism. They had a mind. See, that was their thought.
Yep.
That was their attitude. They had a mind to work.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, what
a great
passage.
Ending to that first part of criticism. You know, I've never really thought about it that way. A mind to work. How fitting that is, though.
Right. It's really criticism affects the inside, and ultimately it paralyzes our work for God. So I guess I would say this to you, my friends, today. That is, there are always going to be critics. Critics sometimes are irrational, as in this case. They just get angry, not because you're doing something wrong, but sometimes get angry just because you're doing something right. And who knows why? That's the irrationality of it. But in their insecurity and in their anger, they'll call names, they'll speak derogatorily, they'll gang up. We see all of that. And yet, what did Nehemiah do? He took it to God. He considered what was really important. He led the people in a way where they didn't allow that to go to their thinking. They kept their mind upon the project that God had put in front of them. Let that be an encouragement to you today, each and every one of you. Hope you have a fantastic day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, or next episode, I should say, when we talk about a second aspect of criticism in this very chapter. God bless you, my friends.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.